In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, dear fellow redeemed by the blood of Christ. Did you know that there are three different words in the Greek New Testament that are used for love? And did you know that all three of these words have a little bit of a different focus, a little bit of a different meaning? There's eros, which is the love between a husband and a wife. There's philia, which is a love between friends and acquaintances. And then there is the word that's used most often for love in the New Testament, a word that's exclusively used in our gospel reading from St. John. And that word is agape. And agape love is a very special type of love. For agape love is not a feeling or an emotion. Agape love is not a physical attraction. Agape love is not the love that's talked about on Hallmark cards that make you feel all warm and fuzzy inside. That's not what agape love is. Instead, agape love is action. Agape love is doing something. Agape love is having someone else's best interest in mind. And since you have their best interest in mind, you always act in a way that benefits or blesses them. That's agape love, action that benefits or blesses someone else. And if that's what agape love is, and if that's the type of love we're talking about here in St. John's Gospel, well, then do you begin to see the amazing comfort that is brought out in these words? For at first, these words can be absolutely terrifying. These words can be used as a club to beat you over the head. These words can be used as a big burden to place on your shoulders. For God says to love one another. Jesus says in the final verse of our text, "These things I am instructing you, that you love one another." And when you hear that, you can be overwhelmed because no matter how hard you try, you can't perfectly love one another. It's impossible for you as a sinner to perfectly love one another. For how can you love those who are causing all sorts of havoc on college campuses right now? How can you love those who are lying and cheating and scamming in order to get their way to the top? How can you love those who have wronged you, who have harmed you, and who have abused you and made your life difficult? For you are a sinner. And so you cannot have a physical attraction toward those people. You cannot have warm and fuzzy feelings toward those people. And it's even going to be very difficult for you to act in such a way that benefits or blesses people. Instead, when people do something wrong, especially if they're wronging you, our first reaction as sinners is to get some sort of revenge or retribution because we think that's what's going to benefit or bless me. And so this section from Scripture can be absolutely terrifying. It can be used as a club to beat you over the head. It can be used as a heavy burden to place onto your shoulders. For I could spend this entire sermon saying, you need to love better. And I could give you all sorts of tips and advice, and I could try to motivate you, and you would leave here, and maybe you would be motivated, and maybe you would try your best to show perfect love, but you would still fail. For no matter how hard you try or how motivated you are, you cannot show the same agape love that Jesus has already shown to you. And so when we are looking at this section of Scripture, we can't look inward. We can't look to our own powers to show love. That's only going to lead us to feeling overwhelmed or terrified. Instead, when looking at this section of Scripture, we have to look outward. We have to look to someone else's powers. We have to look to the fact that we are chosen. For my dear Christian friends, if you carefully read these words, you're going to see that they really aren't first and foremost about you. That's the way we normally read them, right? It's the way it's used in society or even in the church at times. We only like to put ourselves in the subject and say, God is telling me to love better, so I am going to do my best to love better. It's easy to see this section only as law. And while there is a time and a place where we have to use this law and might tell someone, hey, God says to love, that's not the main focus of this section. It's not mainly law, love better. But this section is actually mainly gospel. Be loved. That's the main focus of this section. It's the agape love that Jesus has shown to you. The agape love that had your best interest in mind. And so he acted in a way to bless and benefit you. The agape love that started for you from before the creation of the world. For as Jesus himself said, you did not choose me, but I chose you. I chose you, Jesus says. And think about what that means, that he chose you to be saved from before the creation of the world. For Jesus is choosing you is different than a choice that anyone else has ever made. As an example, think about the recent NFL draft. Teams spend hours, days, weeks, months poring all over the player data, right? They want to know exactly how big or fast someone is. They watch all the game film to see if he has the right football instincts. They even will interview him to see, is he a personality that will fit with our team? Basically, in the NFL draft, a player has to convince a team to choose him, right? A team chooses a player based on his merits. And it's the same with all choices in the world, or whether it's with politics, or whether it's with a job application, or maybe a scholarship application. You have to convince someone to choose you. They choose you based on your merits. That's normally the way it happens in this world. That's not the way it happened with your God. He chose you from before the creation of the world. Before your parents even met or got together, before your first parents, Adam and Eve, were created, God chose you. He chose you to be saved. And he didn't choose you to be saved because of your merits. You had none. You weren't even around. Nor did he choose you to be saved because he knew how good of a person you would be. Just look at your life. Think about the sins you have committed, the sins that you would be ashamed of, the sins that plague your conscience with guilt. Instead, before the creation of the world, God chose you for one reason and one reason only. He chose you because he loved you. He loved you with that agape love that will always act or do something that blesses or benefits you. That's why he chose you to be saved. And if that's why he chose you to be saved, based on his agape love for you, well, then that agape love that he has for you is going to cause him to do something else, something that's even greater than choosing you to be saved from before the creation of the world. He's going to lay down his life for you, which is the greatest act of agape love that has ever been invented. For as Jesus said, no one has greater love than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Do you see how it's first and foremost about Jesus, this section? For Jesus laid down his life for you. He laid down his life for you because he knew it was the only way that his choice of saving you could come true. He laid down his life for you so that he could purify you from your sins and make you worthy enough to spend eternity with him in heaven. That's ultimately the main focus of this entire section of St. John's Gospel, It's the agape love that Jesus showed to you, the agape love that had your best interest in mind, the agape love that chose you to be saved, the agape love that laid down his life for you, the agape love that even brought you to faith and keeps you in the faith so that you can remain in his grace all his life, all your life. For it's not just by chance that you were brought to the font and were baptized. It's not just by random chance that you're sitting here today receiving the gospel both in word and the sacrament. But since God chose you to be saved from all eternity, he ordered all things in this world. And I do mean everything. He ordered it all for you, all so that you could be in the perfect time and place and receive the gospel and receive the forgiveness of sins. That's the agape love that he has always had for you. And it's the agape love that he will always have for you. There will never be a time that you are not surrounded and held in the agape love of your Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the main focus. And if that's this main focus, the amazing love that Jesus has shown to you to choose you and lay down his life for you, to bring you to faith and to keep you in the faith all your life, if that's the main focus of this section, well, then going back to what we talked about at the beginning of the sermon, Jesus' instruction to you to love one another, when you have the right focus of this section, then that command from your Lord is not terrifying. It's not a hammer to beat you over the head. It's not a heavy burden on your shoulder. Why? It's because this is what Jesus has chosen you to do. He has chosen you to now be people who live in this world and to show love to one another. It's what he's chosen you to do. For think about it. At the moment you were baptized, God did not just immediately take you into heaven. He could have, right? That's the ultimate goal. It's why he chose you to be saved. It's why he laid down his life for you. It's why he brought you to faith. It's also that he can take you to heaven one day. That's the ultimate goal, but he hasn't taken you to heaven yet. Why? It's because your God needs you here on earth. He's choosing to use you here on earth. He's choosing to use you to be someone who will show love to one another. He's choosing to use you so that he can bless other people through you. What an amazing privilege it is. For it's not just by chance that you come into contact with the people you come into contact with. It's not by chance that you have your spouse or your children or your parents. It's not by chance that you have your friends or even your coworkers. But God has brought all those people into your life because he's choosing to use you. He's choosing to use you to be someone that can show them love. What an amazing privilege that is. So it doesn't matter if it's in your home with your family, if it's with your friends. It doesn't matter if it's at work, even if you think it's a boring and monotonous job. It doesn't matter what vocation you are in. God is choosing to use you. He's choosing to use you to be someone that shows love. And if God thinks of you so highly, that he's choosing you to be a person in this world that can show love? Rest assured, dear friend in Christ, that he's going to give you that power to show that love. For it's only by having the agape love in Jesus inside of you that you are able to show that agape love out as you live in this world. And so what an amazing thing it is to rejoice in the fact that you have been chosen. You have been chosen to be someone who receives the agape love of Jesus. You have been chosen as someone to show that agape love of Jesus as you live in this world. What a way to rejoice when the focus is on him. For when the focus is on Jesus and on his promises and on his love, then we don't leave here trying to be motivated to be better, which will only lead us to pride or despair. Instead, we leave here full of comfort and peace, knowing that we are in the love of Jesus. And because we are in his love, we'll be able to show love to others. For as St. John wrote, we love because he first loved us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise as we confess that one true faith using the words of the Nicene Creed as printed in the bulletin. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. And Lord Jesus Christ, fill your church with your love, the love that you showed us by reconciling us to the Father through your death and resurrection. Let that love fill up your body, the church, so that all your church may flourish and abound in acts of love toward one another. Be with your church through all it may endure here on earth. When trials or struggles or even persecution comes its way, shower your church with your love. For in that way, it'll remain faithful, hold on to your promises, and be a beacon of light in this dark world of sin. Bless all who are suffering right now from any sort of disease and sickness. Be with the elderly and remind them that your love for them will never run out. Be with the youth and teach them the importance on depending on your love for strength. Keep all in your church faithful until you take us all to the eternal dwelling place in heaven. We pray this through in your holy name. Amen. You may be seated and we'll continue with the offering. Thank you. Please rise as we'll continue with the service of the sacrament. For out of love, your Lord will give you his very body and blood to forgive your sins and to give you the strength to show love to one another.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is truly good and right that we should at all times and in all places give you thanks, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty and everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who by his willing sacrifice on the cross took away the sins of the world and by his glorious resurrection restored everlasting life. Therefore, with all the saints on earth and host of heaven, we praise your holy name and join in their most glorious song. We give thanks to you, O God, through your dear Son, Jesus Christ, whom you sent to be our Savior, our Redeemer, and the messenger of your grace. Through him you made all things. In him you are well pleased, for he is the incarnate Word, conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. And to fulfill your promises, he stretched out his hands on the cross and released from eternal death all who believe in you. And so as we remember Jesus' death and resurrection, we thank you that you have gathered us together to receive your Son's body and blood. Send us your Spirit, unite us as one, and strengthen our faith so that we may praise you in your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we glorify and honor you, O God our Father, with the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And we join in the prayer you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." And the peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen.
Amen. may that true blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus strengthen you and keep you in the one true faith all your life. Heart, peace, you are now able to love as Christ loved you, because all your sins are forgiven. Amen. This is the true blood of your Lord and Savior, which was shed for you in remission of your sins. Take and drink. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. Now may that true body and that true blood of your Lord and Savior strengthen you and keep you in the one true faith all your life. Depart in peace. You are now able to love as Christ loved you, because all your sins have been forgiven.
Thank you.
Please rise as we sing the Song of Simeon on the top of page 19. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
His mercy endures forever.
And whenever we eat this bread and drink this cup,
we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
We give thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us with this saving gift. We pray that through it, you will strengthen our faith in you and increase our love for one another. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
And the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with his favor and give you peace.
Amen. Amen.
You may be seated as we sing our final hymn.
those of you who maybe don't read pastor's emails, he had to leave to get to Rock of Ages. Mount Olive is having their confirmation today, so it's good that Pastor Krieger stays home. Three announcements I have. Ascension this Thursday, May 9th, we always combine with our Savior in Harrisonville. Pastor Berg will be here preaching. Services at 6 p.m., I believe. I'm sure Pastor will send an email or two on that. Next week, Sunday, is Mother's Day. So, guys, you know what you have to do. You get to bring the treats. It's your turn. Last but not least, Bible class today. If you read Pastor's long email on Monday, which I finished around bedtime, as he said, we'll be talking about vacancies in general, also about the vacancy that may still be coming up that Pastor might have to serve and what we'll have to do to switch things around here. It's going to be kind of an open forum, as I'll say. Want lots of questions. I want your honest opinions. Your pastor's not in the room, so open up. And then if we have time or if we want to, we can talk about church structure, things we do here at church, your opinions on what's good, what's bad, any opinions you might have. So join us. Thank you.